Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes. Text number 12. Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimhi Yan Maya Jojayaya Mam Vedanti Jagat Gurum. Tasmai namo bhagavate Vasudevaya dhimihi Yanmayaya dojayaya Mam vedanti jagadgurum. Tasmai namo bhagavate Vasudevaya dhimihi Yanmayaya dojayaya Mam vedanti jagadgurum. Tasmai namo bhagavate Vasudevaya dhimi Yanmayaya dojayaya Mam vedanti jagadgurum. Tasmai, unto him, namaha, offer my obeisances, Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead, Vasudevaya, unto Lord Krishna, dhimihi, do meditate upon him, yat, by whose, mayaya, potencies, Dojayaya, invincible, Mam, unto me, Vedanti, they say, Jagat, the world, Gurum, the master, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences them, the less intelligent class of men, to call me the Supreme Controller. Translation responsively. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences them, the less intelligent class of men, to call me the Supreme Controller. Purport. As will be more clearly explained in the next verse, the illusory potency of the Lord bewilders the less intelligent to accept Brahmaji, or for that matter any other person, as the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji, however, refuses to be called this, and he directly offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Vasudeva, or Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, as he has already offered the same respects to him in the Brahma Samhita 5.1. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraham Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The Supreme Lord is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord in His transcendental body, the ultimate cause of all causes. I worship that primeval Lord Govinda. Brahmaji is conscious of his actual position, and he knows how less intelligent persons, bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, whimsically accept anyone and everyone as God. A responsible personality like Brahmaji refuses to be addressed as the Supreme Lord by his disciples or subordinates. But foolish persons praised by men of the nature of dogs, hogs, camels and asses feel flattered to be addressed as the Supreme Lord. Why such persons take pleasure in being addressed as God, or why such persons are addressed as God by foolish admirers, is explained in the following verse. Om Gyan Timjyan Dasya Gyan Jana Chalakya Chakshun Tamina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dvapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Stajivam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shivadha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalida Shiva Chakam Vitam Sta He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Pandu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kancha Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Rishabhanu Sutheri Pranami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavija Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Purunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we've been hearing previously Maharaj Parikshit made an inquiry from his spiritual master Shukadev Goswami, asking him to know how the personality of Godhead by his personal energies creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods, as in the previous chapter. And so the material world consists of many unlimited universes, not only the one that we're currently in. And in response to this inquiry, Shukadev Goswami is relating a conversation between Narada Muni and his spiritual master, Lord Brahma. So, Narada Muni is acting as an instrument for the Lord, and for the benefit of the conditioned souls, he's He asks many questions to Lord Brahma, which you've heard of in the beginning of this chapter. And it was interesting, just maybe some gave pass over the weekend, when Lord Brahma thanked Narada Muni for his mercy, because his questions inspired him to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. And Lord Brahma was saying that Narada Muni was even being merciful to him. And that's the... Even though Lord Brahma is the spiritual master of Narada Muni, Narada Muni, being such a powerful devotee, could even, you know, show mercy to Lord Brahma by inspiring topics about Krishna. So from that example, we can see that even the guru can, in this instance, was praising the disciple for asking questions that led to discussion about Krishna. So, of course, the predominating mood between the guru and the disciple is servitorship and worship in awe and reverence. But still, underlying that, there is a mood of friendship between the... Because the spiritual master has our real self-interest at heart. Krishna says in chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita, Surudam Sarva Bhuteshu. So the spiritual master, being the representative of Krishna, is also the well-wisher of their disciples and all living entities. Just like Arjuna is eternally associated with Krishna as a friend, but when he saw Krishna's universal form, his mood of friendship became mixed with the mood of awe and reverence. So this is a good attitude to have, that our guru is our best friend, but because they're in a much superior position of devotional service, and then we offer them so much respect, as good as we would to Krishna. And when Arjuna surrendered himself to as Krishna's disciple, he wanted to stop friendly talks. And as Prabhupada says, talks between the master and disciple are serious. So maybe we've had darshan with our own spiritual master or another spiritual master, and of course they will always, you know, sometimes be light-hearted, you know, not always super serious, but, so this might be their mood, but and we can reciprocate with that mood of our guru if they're being friendly with us, but still our mood should be that more of awe and reverence, because they're guiding us back to Godhead. And so today, or the past few days, we've been hearing Lord Brahma's response to Narada Muni's inquiries. And today Lord Brahma is describing about Krishna's invincible potency. So, as we know, Krishna has three principal energies: the material external energy, the internal spiritual energy, and the marginal energy, which is us, the spirit souls. And we belong to the superior spiritual energy. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aprayam itasthvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayidam darite jagat. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So actually, the spirit souls, we're not meant to be in contact with the material energy. It's a a foreign place for us. So, but we're here and we're engaged in a very hard struggle for existence and all the time suffering the threefold miseries at every step. And this is all done just in ignorance of our eternal relationship with Krishna. Because the soul is by nature fully blissful, but our experiences in the material world are just an illusion caused by wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna. As soon as the soul has this desire to enjoy separately, then immediately then the soul is made to accept the material covering of the false ego so that we can identify with the material nature. Just like we have a group of, chemicals called an emulsifier. Emulsifiers will mix oil and water or something like that. Say if you have a salad dressing, oftentimes there'll be something oily and something watery. So you can add something, or just by shaking it, then they'll get mixed up. So this is how the false ego works. The false ego mixes the pure spirit soul with the matter. Because otherwise there's no mixture. They're not compatible. And that's due to our own desire to enjoy separately. We continue in the material world because we associate with material nature's three modes. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasadhyoni jamasu. So we're trying to enjoy the three modes of nature, and we keep associating, and so we keep accepting different material bodies. Sometimes, luckily we have now a human body, we can take to Krishna consciousness. But previously, we've been in so many other material bodies that have no opportunity for inquiring into spiritual life. So actually we're meant to be with Krishna in the spiritual world. But now we're thinking we can manipulate this material energy for our own enjoyment. So that's what we're thinking, but that's, as we learned from Bhagavad Gita, that in the mode of ignorance, then things that are factual, we see as illusion, and things that are illusion we see as reality. So we're thinking we can manipulate the material enjoyment that we're in control. But actually it's the reverse, that we're under the subjugation of the material energy. And in this verse, Lord Brahma calls the material energy durjaya, invincible. So invincible means no one can defeat Maya. She's practically all-powerful in the material world. Because she's an energy of Krishna, so anything that's Krishna is the supreme. So also his energies can have that potency. Yesterday I found this badge of Durga Devi on the Tulsi house. So we see here. I don't know why. Maybe someone thought Durga can. Doesn't make sense to protect Tulsi, but Tulsi is already in the spiritual energy. But anyway, so we have here, she's riding on a very ferocious tiger, I don't know why people would bring these things to the temple, so she has maybe 10 arms, is that right? Yeah, and they're all carrying many weapons. So she's extremely powerful. She can just, cut us down and hold us down all the time. She also carries a trident representing the three modes of nature. And so there's this expression that to be under the thumb, maybe used in relation to a husband who's under the thumb of his wife, meaning that we're not able to act freely. So, like if we press our thumb onto a small insect to stop it crawling away, it's wriggling about and it can't get away. So, in the same way, Maya has us pushed under, and we can't get out, though we try and struggle. And so, to be conditioned by material nature means that we're forced by her. So, as Prabhupada would often explain, that no one wants to accept an old body, but old body generally gives so much pain and disease. Even a young body can get disease, and then eventually no one wants to die. But all these things are forced upon us. There's just no escape. There's no choice. So the soul's freedom is inhibited by the coverings of the subtle mind and the gross body. So if we didn't have this body and mind, then actually there would be no question of suffering. The threefold miseries, they're just acting on the body and the mind. So this is the cause of our suffering, this body and mind. And the soul is something different. Just like if you see in the street a person in a wheelchair. So, you know, they're unfortunately somehow had some accident or some condition where they're restricted to that. Their movement, freedom of movement, has become restricted. They have to stay in that seat. Although they want to walk about freely, that's natural. Everyone wants to have freedom. So, in the same way, this body and mind are blocking us from the real freedom which we desire. So, of course, this is, you know, we hear this kind of, as devotees, we hear this kind of philosophy quite regularly, and we're maybe quite conversant with it or familiar with it. But it's good to know this kind of philosophy and Bhagavad Gita, etc., because the better we know this philosophy, the better we understand it, then it helps us in our spiritual life by bringing about some humility in us. Because to think that we're an enjoyer of the material world, that's a symptom of pride. But to actually understand that we're completely bound up in the grip of Maya, then we won't try to falsely enjoy the material world, and we can humbly surrender to Krishna, feeling very helpless and dependent on Krishna's mercy. And before I was describing how it's such a tight grip that Maya has us in. So, you know, without Krishna consciousness, it's a very helpless position that we're in. But luckily, we have this process of devotional service. As Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Davi Yesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Jivatyaya. But whoever surrenders to Krishna can escape the influence of Maya. Otherwise, there's no escape. Krishna also says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tapataha tato mam tapato kinyatva vishte tadanantaram. So, we can only understand Krishna and escape Maya's influence and come back to Krishna by bhakti yoga. And all other processes of yoga and jnana yoga, hatha yoga, they're good in that if they can bring us to the point of bhakti yoga. Because this is the only way we can actually re-enter the spiritual world. So bhakti yoga is the process for returning to Krishna, And so our desire should be to be more and more engaged in devotional service. In a 24-hour day, there's kind of a limit to how much, you know, physically we can do, or our body has limitations and so on. But to be always engaged in Krishna consciousness is more a, it's a state of consciousness. It's not dependent on our physical engagement so much. It's more about, are we engaged in serving Krishna in our consciousness and with our thoughts and feelings? Of course, if we're feeling like serving Krishna, then of course we'll engage in some physical activity for Krishna. But at other times when we're, tired or sick or something, we can still engage in devotional service in our thoughts and by chanting. So to be always engaged in devotional service, we need to pray to the deities for the intelligence how to do this, and also pray for the opportunity of always having the association of devotees. So this influence of the material energy, which keeps us bound up, as we learn from Bhagavatam, that we're kept bound here by the desire for sex life. I could see this very clearly at our previous, over the weekend, we went to a music festival, or it was more like a rave out in the bush, a dance festival. It was just non-stop pumping music for the whole weekend. So at this festival, it's kind of like a mini, you could see it as a mini version of, what the material world's all about, because people get to go there and there's practically no restrictions. They can associate with the opposite sex as much as they want, wear as much or as little as they want, take as much intoxication as they want. So they're thinking they're completely free to do whatever they want. But outside the property, festival is held on a property, country property. But outside the property, if you drive along the road, then the police are waiting there ready to give you a drug test. So they're thinking they're free and, they can have so much fun, but they're still... they haven't escaped the state laws. They can still get pulled up. Actually, I got pulled up by the police as well. It's true. Because I went into town to get some things, and I came back, and there was a rail crossing. But like in the city, all the rail crossings have the boom gates, but this one didn't have boom gates. So you're meant to stop, and is there a train coming? And stop yourself, but I didn't stop. So there was a police car right there, and he pulled me over and said, "Oh, you didn't stop at the rail crossing." I couldn't say anything. He gave me a fine. no excuse. If we break the laws, then the laws of the state, then the state, the superintendents of the state are there to catch us, and our police are not, they're not very good. You can get away sometimes. You can commit a crime, and maybe the police won't catch you. But Krishna's state laws are not like that. You can't. There's no escape, because he's watching us all the time. He's in our heart. He knows what we're doing, and. Whatever we do, there's some reaction, and the material energy is ready to give us that reaction. Yeah, so anyway, at the festival, and everyone's just kind of completely absorbed in material enjoyment, and especially, you know, that sex desire that everyone wants to associate freely, and you can just see that because of that, there's no possibility that they'll ever inquire about spiritual life. They're just too much into trying to enjoy with the opposite sex. So they've just never, you know, come into their mind to think about spiritual life. No. Even when they're getting punished by material nature, then her other potency will cover, they'll get covered again and think they can enjoy and forget about their previous suffering. I saw there was one man, it was very unfortunate, I saw him, he had this really bad drug experience or something, and it's like 5 in the morning and he was kind of just screaming like a madman, like not in ecstasy but suffering. You know, so this is a, like the vicious effect of Maya. Just first of all entices people to enjoy the material energy, and then so they get lured in by some attraction, and then once they're in, they just get smashed by Maya really, really heavily, and then she again comes and they forget about their suffering and they look after some other material enjoyment. So there's this whole vicious cycle, repeated birth and death. They get to the end of life, they die, and they take another birth and do it all again. So this is the workings of Maya. And Lord Brahma is describing here that another influence of Maya is that the less intelligent class of men call me the supreme controller. And Prabhupada describes that not only Lord Brahma, but people will accept any other person as the supreme lord. And so we may wonder, you know, people are so atheistic, so how are they accepting anyone as the supreme lord? So even atheists who don't believe in a supreme lord, they are accepting themselves as the supreme, they'll also accept others as the supreme. You know, they also have a right to enjoy, so they are also supreme. So because that's that's what it means to be the supreme. It means you're the controller and the enjoyer. So even atheists who consider themselves enjoyers, then actually they're thinking themselves to be God. Prabhupada describes that Lord Brahma, however, refuses to be called the Supreme, and he directly offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Vasudeva of Sri Krishna. So, of course, this reminds us of the pastime with Lord Chaitanya, when devotees who were more intimately associated with Lord Chaitanya understood that he was Krishna himself. So they would say like that to Lord Chaitanya, and he would cover his ears and say, "No, no, I'm not, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. I'm not the supreme. Krishna is supreme." Even for ourselves, as we practice devotional service, then it's natural that we offer respects to senior devotees, says we need to learn the habit of we can accept the praise or whatever of younger devotees, but just to reciprocate with them, but then also but always pass that on to our spiritual master. And so in this way, not accept ourselves as some kind of supreme controller, or you know, we have so much potency as a devotee, but always understand that our potency is coming from the parampara and Krishna. Too much more, so I'll stop there if anyone wants to ask any comments or questions. Okay, I'll stop there. Kantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.